Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our get-together this Lord's Day evening. Thank you for coming. Several of you have been present here working on LTC and other projects all afternoon. Thank you for your good work in that way. I wanted to get up here to start with to tell you how fortunate you are. Tonight we have several of our fellows who are going to be leading our assembly tonight, and we appreciate very much our fellows who are raising their families, and some of them are going to be kind of leading our thoughts in our meeting tonight. If you haven't noticed, what we've been trying to do is at least one Sunday evening a month, we've been trying to give some of our brothers here the opportunity and the time to lead our services. They do a good job at it. We appreciate them, and this allows us an opportunity for them to gain some experience and also for all of us to hear from some different voices, and we appreciate the privilege so much. So tonight, if you'll help them join in the songs, there'll be three devotional thoughts presented, and also some readings and prayers. And it'll be an edifying time for each one. So thank you for being here. Thanks, fellas, for leading us. John.
Good evening, everybody. First selection this evening is going to be number 93, if you're following along with the book. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of this selection. 1, 2, and 3. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborne, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord. Our next selection will be number 136. One of our 136, Faith of Our Fathers. We'll sing all three verses of this selection. 136.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Let's pray. Father, we come here tonight to worship you and lift your name up for all the things that you have done for us and for this world. And we thank you that we can be here with our brothers and sisters tonight, and help us to encourage each other and lift up your name as our Lord and our Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before Jeremy speaks, I've got a couple passages of scripture that I'm going to read. If you want to follow along, the first one will be in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 12 through 16. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." And then just flip over a few pages to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 27. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world."
Evening. everything set here. I know I'll speak for all of us to kind of start off this evening, and we are grateful and thankful to have the opportunity to take a time and present a message this evening and share a few thoughts that we have prepared. We'll kind of start off with just letting you know what each thought is this evening. That way it's not three introductions instead of just one. But we were getting together several weeks ago and trying to decide on what would be something beneficial, not just, you know, for a Sunday night, but beneficial for all of the upcoming changes with the congregation as far as looking for new leaders, getting ready to have Justin come as a new staff member, all the things that we will be facing as changes to the congregation as well. And so the thoughts that we were looking at this evening would be, what is the purpose here at Watermill? What are our talents? And then what is, prayer or our prayer life in that respect is what we'll be looking at this evening. So I will have purpose. Now, we were told to be brief this evening with three of us. But Jason and I were talking earlier. And for anybody who didn't get an opportunity this weekend to come to the marriage retreat, you missed out. It was a great time. I know anybody that was there, you can speak to them and ask them about it. And everybody got to, you know, some great thoughts from Joe, and we also got a lot of great thoughts with each other to share as well on different marriages and different wisdom that we could share with each other. But I think several of us are aware that we're there. Joe was given roughly about 3 hours. Sounds about right. I think he used about an hour and a half. So I was looking at Jason, and I can ask Scott and go, it gives us roughly about an hour and a half of bonus time to use tonight. So I was like, it might work out. Might have a little bit extra time. But, you know, all kidding aside, we will, you know, be as brief as possible, but make sure that we also present the messages that we wanted to this evening as well. So, of course, be in your Bibles there to 1 Timothy chapter 4 is where we will begin. But what I wanted to do is take just a moment to be aware of the purpose or the focus of our ministry is what we are looking at first. And the biggest part of that for us that I was considering is what do we think of when we say what is our ministry here? And, you know, here Paul is writing to Timothy about his specific ministry itself and specifically to be a servant and to be mindful. And, you know, the things that were mentioned there is to meditate on these things. Let no one despise your youth. We often use that at youth nights or things of that nature. But what he's really trying to focus on there is don't let them think less of you or don't think less of yourself just because you may be newer in the Word of God. You may not be an experienced or wise Christian who's had all these years of experience, whether it be teaching or preaching or whatever it may be. And we're going to get into some of those things later, so I'll just kind of highlight a couple of things as well. But the biggest thing that I wanted to look at was, as far as our ministry is concerned, we should be a servant first. And that's the biggest part for us to understand. Whether we take that role as a teacher or a preacher, because we are all teaching in one way or another. Whether we do it physically through our words or whether we're doing it by our actions with our example. And so that was one of the first things that came to mind. And before we actually dive just for a moment into the verses that were read earlier by Cambry, go ahead and look with me starting actually in verse 6. If you would. And it's mentioning here about being a servant. And it says, starting in verse 6 there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Well, it's kind of the bridge there between, and that's what I want to focus on, was these things command and teach. We are told to reach out and to be a servant and to teach the things of God. And he's explaining there that we have all of the things that we need in front of us to take care of being a good servant. And everyone always asks, won't get too deep into it because we want to make sure that don't focus too much on talents or whatever we do here for the next lesson. But we always need to make sure that what are our opportunities? If we're going to be a servant, what do I do? And we'll get to that here in just a moment as well. But the biggest part when it comes to our service is, what are we thinking about? You know, it's instead of just sitting around and waiting for someone else to tell us what to do, well, let's take our own time and figure out what we need to do. Because there's always going to be opportunities for us to serve. God tells us that. And so the important part for us that we look at there in 1 Timothy 4 and the scripture read earlier in verses 12 through 16 is focusing on verses 15 and 16, saying, meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident, so that your teaching or that your actions are there and proven. But how much time are we spending focusing? And meditation actually is important for us, or we're in prayer, or we're in thought about what can I do, or what am I already doing as a good servant of Christ. And then if you look at verse 16, that one is often used for us, is very popular. It says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed or be mindful of the doctrine. And the important thing that I was thinking about of that is the awareness that we have of our example. Because a lot of times people don't focus on those words that are very important there. Because it says, take heed to yourself, your example, and the doctrine. It doesn't tell us to focus on a doctrine of our choosing, or a Bible, or words that someone else creates for us. It says to focus on the doctrine. And that's something that's very important for all of us to be mindful of in this situation, because very often it's easy to get in that mindset of what else is out there, what else can I read and study that might make more sense, or that might help me form a better opinion. Well, if we take our focus off of what's right in front of us and what got us to come to God in the first place, we're kind of lost already. We got to keep our focus on the word that was presented before us and don't stray from that. Because the important thing that I thought of as another example for us was, and you can take notes, I don't want to take too much time here, but in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, those are also very familiar with us, the thought that came to mind from here is we're told we must teach what we have been taught. We have to take everything that we've learned, that we were helped with becoming a Christian, all the examples that were set before us as well, from our fathers and our mothers and our friends and our church family. And we take all those things and we create our own faith. And we create that new example for someone else around us as well. And so those are some of the things about, A, that's important for us in our ministry to focus on not just being a servant, but being a conscious servant and being aware of what are we doing on a daily basis. Not just what activities do we get involved in when we come Sunday morning. You know, do we show up for worship and help out a little bit here and there? Oh, hey, I need you to come help with the table. Or, hey, I need you to help teach this class. And those are great things. We should be doing those. But do we really take the time to sit back and go, what else can I do? And I'm guilty of it. It's always easy to talk about things that you're guilty of and focus on those things. But how many times have we been guilty of that ourselves? And we'll focus on that here in just a moment, which becomes the other big part of our purpose is, what is the action that we show in our ministry? What actions do we actually take? And so that's where, if you'll go ahead and turn back over to James chapter 1 for me. And that's where we get our focus here about this. Because we have to accept God's word, holy, that we read earlier in 1 Timothy, in order to make that a part of our Christian life. Because if we're not willing to accept God's word for what it is, how do we put our faith in it? And how do we make that our focus in our daily lives if we don't truly believe in it? And then there's no action if we don't believe. Because if we look at specifically, you know, it says doers and not hearers. I'm sure, read this many a time. For those of us who have kept up with our Bible readings, but this is used quite often to talk about, what do? Well, let's take a slightly different approach as far as what we do. Because it says, starting in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Focus on that deceiving yourselves part here. And in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. How many times have we caught ourselves doing a similar thing? Whether it be kids with things at home that mom or dad have told us to do. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get to it. Don't worry about it. An hour later, still not done. Or we tell ourselves, parents or whatever else, oh hey, I'm gonna get this project done at home, and I'm gonna get the garage cleaned. I've been saying that myself for months, still not done. But it's things like that in our personal lives. And then focus on our Christian lives as well. Think about the last thing we said we were gonna get done. I'm gonna go knock some doors, or I'm gonna go have a conversation the next time I'm out, whether it be a meal or I'm shopping or whatever it may be. You know, it can be out in our communities, it can be here in our own congregation. When is the last time we said, I'm gonna sit down and speak to someone about God and just see what's, you know, and get their thoughts? Or I'm gonna have a prayer with somebody, and it didn't happen. Because we meant well. But that's the focus here, is we are deceiving our own minds into, I'm doing great. I have all these great thoughts in my mind. But then there's no action. There's no follow through with it. And we're all guilty of it. And that's why I can sit here myself and say that. You know, when was the last time that I sat, you know, outside of family or here at the congregation and had a prayer with somebody? Or sat down and had a conversation about God? And about a Christian life for someone. Can't tell you. And that's something that I have to work on. And I know that's something that we all want to focus on, is being more Christ-like and setting a better example. And I know, I'm pretty sure I'm about done. But what I wanted to kind of leave us with before Travis gets up to lead us in a song here is that we have to really focus on, what example are we setting? What example is it that we should have as far as our Christian life and what we present to people as, quote-unquote, what they think of as a religious person? Because we don't use those words often. We focus on being a Christian versus saying, oh, we're religious or we're spiritual. Well, looking at verses 26 and 27 will help us describe that. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. We have to be aware of what we're saying and what we're presenting. But verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, we're not going to say specifically if you don't go visit widows and orphans that you're not going to make it to heaven. Are those things important? Absolutely. He was setting an example there of, are we reaching out? Are we looking out for those who may be less fortunate or for those who may need comfort or strength or need support? And then are we also making sure that our own lives are in order as Christians? And so that's the ministry that we have. We all need to take time to focus on, is it one person's job to do everything? No. But the important thing that we could keep in our minds as we kind of close our devotional thoughts on our ministry is, what actions can I take to help things be more beneficial as a congregation? And what can I do to help others around me with a better example?
Give me the heart of a servant, tender and faithful and true. Fill me with love, then use me, O Lord, so that the world can see you. Give me the heart of a servant, tender and faithful and true. Fill me with love, then use me, O Lord, so that the world can see you. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, familiar as the parable of the talents. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went away on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid. I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Good evening. 5 talents doubled. 2 talents doubled. 1 talent buried. Well, Jesus is presenting this illustration to us during the Passion Week, during that week leading up to his crucifixion. And why? Why was it important for him to talk about these things? Well, he was wanting to encourage the disciples to be fruitful after his departure to heaven, right? And isn't that true, that need true for us today? Well, what was a talent at that time? Well, it was a monetary measure of great wealth. One commentator suggested that it was potentially equal to 20 years' wages. And so we see this man who's going on a journey, and he entrusts his property to his servants. And then, after a long time, which would represent the span between our Lord's ascension and his future return, their master returned. Well, what was the outcome that we read about for the first 2 servants, those who were given the 5 talents and the 2 talents? We see where their master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The man commended the first 2 as faithful and invited them into a realm of joy which in the eternal meaning represents heaven. What was the outcome for that third servant, the one who received one talent and buried it? Well, this servant essentially began to almost whine and place the blame on his generous master, describing him as hard, his character as hard, and stated that his master would reap where he did not sow and gather where he scattered no seed. But that wasn't wise. His master described the servant as wicked and slothful, and as we see, the servant didn't even make a minimal effort. He could have deposited those funds in the bank, right, and at least earned interest. And we know that there will not be excuses on the day of judgment. So the slothful servant's talent was given to the 10-talent servant, and the wicked servant was cast into outer darkness. As Wayne Jackson noted in his New Testament commentary, there are six things that we can learn from this. Number one, all have some talent. And as I look at this room, I see a lot of talent in here. Number two, and you guys help me finish this equation, ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Number three, faithful service will be rewarded. Number four, one must never blame others for his disobedience. Number five, we must use our talents or we will lose them. And number six, actions on earth have eternal consequences. A few observations. The third servant, he was afraid. And he was afraid he would fail. Do we ever feel those same concerns? Afraid of failure. And therefore, he never tried to succeed. If we are paralyzed by fear and anxiety and we bury our talents, we are at risk of losing our abilities, right? A few quotes from the late Jim Rohn, who is a well-known personal development guru. Number one, whatever you don't use, you lose. The old use it or lose it phenomenon. Number two, ambition unused declines. Strong feelings unused diminish. Faith unused decreases. A third quote, today unused is lost. A talent unused is lost. An ability unused is lost. And one more quote from Mr. Rohn. Make sure that all your talent and ability and mentality and ingenuity and vitality and strong feelings, faith, courage, make sure all you've got is being used. Otherwise, you lose. And so, as you know, we're working to create a vision for our congregation to be well-pleasing to the Lord and to be fruitful in his kingdom, which means that we each need that vision for ourselves, right? As his servants, let us not bury our talents. Let us look for ways to use our talents, regardless of our age, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our background, regardless of what school we may attend, regardless of our occupation or if we're retired, regardless of our financial situation. Let's look for ways to use our talents. There are so many examples I think of as I look out at this room. Encouraging our brothers and sisters who are going through difficult times. You all are so wonderful at this. Even young children can do this with the help of their family by writing encouragement notes, drawing pictures, praying for our brothers and sisters, praying for those in need, praying for our leaders, bringing a meal to a family with a newborn who may be a bit sleep deprived and exhausted. I remember being on the receiving end of that, and that was wonderful. Helping with transportation, our bus drivers, and there are others involved in transporting folks so that our members and visitors can be here with us. Caring for children who've been separated from their family. Assisting someone with physical needs and emotional support after loss of a loved one. Stocking the pantry. Instructing our youth through so many avenues. You guys are so wonderful. LTC, summer Bible camps, classes, youth activities. Building relationships so that we can influence those around us in the community for the Lord. Maintaining our facility. There's so many things. Tucker today, listening to my boys talk off his ear about transformers, right? So many examples of patience. But this is just a short list of our opportunities and needs. And we need each part of the body to contribute so that we can be fruitful both individually and as a congregation. So let's all make sure that we're studying the scriptures, that we're praying, that we're looking to plant the seed of the gospel. And let us all have the courage to use our talents.
Number 866.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I'll be reading a few different passages. First will be 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Next, I'll be reading from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house." And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest."
Laura's been home all day today. She doesn't feel well, but she's watching. She was watching this morning live, and she's watching tonight live. So, hi, honey. It's not too soon to start thinking about dinner. Be home real quick. The power of prayer. When I was given this topic, I knew immediately what I was going to talk about tonight. It is actually an experience that I've had that, to me, proves God, his existence. About 10 or 11 years ago, I became a board member for Happy Hollow. And at that time, the camp was 50 years old and in pretty bad shape. It was most of the structures were original structures. They were run down and in need of replacement. We were able to scrape together some money and build a couple new cabins. But for the most part, we thought, well, we still got time before this. We really have to start making some changes. Well, in 2012, we lost George, and who had single-handedly kept our old pool going. And a few weeks after that, his brother Darren gave us kind of a dire assessment of the pool. And he told us we had 1, maybe 2 years left in it. We got some bids and were shocked by the price tags. We had no money. We were a nonprofit in every sense of the term. It was as if we were told that you gotta scale this mountain. What you need is on top of it, but you gotta scale the mountain with no ropes, no assistance, no shoes, and part of the mountain is actually going to angle out. I mean, that's kind of the obstacle that we were looking at. And we were facing the very real possibility of trying to operate a summer camp without a swimming pool. And that may sound trivial, but it gets hot out there in June and July and August. And what we feared was that word of mouth was going to spread quickly that Happy Hollow was the non-pool camp. And to us, that was worse than being known as the one-cup congregation. You know, that we were afraid that our camper numbers would dwindle and disappear completely. We were captains of the Titanic, or so some thought. I remember those meetings. I remember the sad expressions from around the table, but I also remember being hopeful. And I remember feeling that it was all going to work out and actually kind of being excited and wondering how God was going to do it. I even said that in one of the meetings. I said, guys, you know, I just wonder how he's going to do it. I asked Tucker to read these two accounts from 1 and 2 Kings. They were my favorite accounts of God taking care of the needs of the simplest of people. And it's not flashy. There's not a David Copperfield ta-da. There's no magic to witness. It's just God knowing what they needed and providing it. And the same thing happened to us out of Happy Hollow. Now, I told that story to say this. We've hired Justin. We are selecting new deacons and elders. And we have goals and aspirations of who we want to be as a congregation. And I'll be honest, I got that same feeling of hope that I had years ago during those board meetings. Knowing that God was going to provide, and just wondering and being excited about how he was going to do it. You know, in those board meetings, I knew all of our hearts were in the right place. You know, we did not want to rebuild the camp for the glory of any mortal man. And we just wanted to keep the camp going so the kids could continue hearing the gospel. And it's the same thing here at Watermill. We are the many little parts of the one body who want what is best for that body. Now, Justin is going to be joining us in 3 months. And any new employee wants to do, you know, good at their new job, as I'm sure he does too. From a professional and personal standpoint, I'm sure he doesn't want to let Bill down. From another personal standpoint, and one you might not have considered, is that this congregation, this is going to be Justin and Carrie's congregation. This is going to be the congregation that their kids are going to be a part of and they're going to grow into. They will want the best for Watermill as Christians, as staff, and as members. I'm reminded of another verse in 2 Kings. This one is in chapter 6. And you remember the story. Elisha and his servant have found themselves surrounded by the enemy. And the servant is nervous. He's afraid. And Elisha just has this calm confidence about him. And he says, no, don't worry. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I believe it in our hearts that those who are with us here at Watermill, the things that we've got going for us here at Watermill, the talents that Aaron was talking about, the purpose that Jeremy had mentioned, are greater than those that are against us. We prayed during those board meetings and in our homes. We prayed for God to bless us with what we needed in order to be a blessing to others. And prayers have been led tonight and will continue to be led throughout this journey of ours. But right now I would like to lead us in a simple, humble prayer with Romans 8 in mind, where Paul says that the Spirit himself intercedes for those for us with groanings too deep for words, and with Matthew 6 in mind, which Jesus himself says that God knows what we need before we even ask. So if you would bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins if we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
If you'd stand, please.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Do we have any other announcements? Okay.
If y'all would be seated just a second. Thank you, brothers, all of you, for leading us in an encouraging service and a thoughtful one. We appreciate it very much. Thanks to Mike for kind of getting this together for us. And thanks to all of you who've had a part in it. And thanks to all of you for your involvement in it as well. Tim brought me a note during our service. I need to pass along to everyone. Scott Pressler called a few moments ago to let us know that Sonny, his dad, passed away this evening. Sonny and Linda worked with us as a part of our staff for a while, many years ago now. They also served for a period of time as house parents at Fairhaven. And, of course, Scott and his family were members of the congregation here as well. So we feel for them. What we know at this point is that services will be next Saturday in Rogersville. I don't have a time or the location for it, so be watching for that, and we'll announce it as we can. But remember all the Pressler family in your prayers, please. Jerry.
Thank you, Bill. Just have a few announcements just to cover for those that weren't here this morning concerning some addition of ones on our prayer list. Sister Kelly Kirk is asking for prayers for a family of a friend that she works with, Tiffany. Her grandmother has some very serious health issues, plus the family. Tiffany's family is still grieving over the loss of their daughter last June, so let's remember that family in our prayers. And also Brother Brent Looney's brother by the name of Garland has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and it's not operable. So remember Brother Brent and his brother in our prayers. And also, today is the last day to sign up for a hotel room for LTC. Please see Sister Laurel to sign up or pay for your room if you have not done so. And the Lord's table is left spread for those that were unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. We'll have another song, and if you'll dismiss yourself to the back of the auditorium there, that they'll direct you where to go at that time. Pray that everyone join us Wednesday for our midweek Bible study, and that everyone has a very good week. Let's be standing at this time for that song.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And He will lift you up.
Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And he died for us. And he died for us. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up.
Before I pray, one thing I should have made more clear this morning when talking about the game night next Saturday. It is for all ages, so we really hope everybody can come. It is a YFC and Ties That Bind kind of led event, as it were. But, you know, we really want the youth group kids to be able to make it if possible. We really want people of all ages to be able to hopefully come out and enjoy some food, fun, and fellowship. So, anyways, if we'll go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together, Lord, to worship you, to meditate on your word. And, Lord, we're thankful for the men that were able to get up and speak tonight and participate and share your word with us. Lord, we pray that we'll remember the purpose that you give us as Christians, Lord, that we'll remember the talents that you've blessed each one of us with, Lord, and that we'll work to use those talents to your glory and to expand your kingdom, Lord, and to bring you honor and praise. And Lord, we thank you for the avenue of prayer that you've given us, that we can lay our burdens out to you, Lord, and our hopes and dreams, Lord, and that you will, as Jason said, know what we need, Lord, before we ever think to pray for it. And we're thankful for that, Lord, and we're thankful for just all the blessings that you've given this congregation and for all the hard work that so many people across the board have put in over the years and are currently putting in, Lord, that help to make Watermill a strong congregation and one that makes a difference in the lives of its members and in its community. Lord, we pray for the Pressler family, that you'll help them as they grieve this loss that they're having, and pray that you'll be with them and help us as a church family to be encouragement to them and a blessing to them at this time. We pray, Lord, for Brent Looney's brother and for the Looney family, and that you'll help them as well. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with all those who are sick and struggling, Lord, and help us all to check in on one another and to give you glory when there's good news, Lord, and to just keep praying and trusting you, Lord, for everybody going through those difficult times. We ask that you be with us this week, watch over us, and bless us and protect us, and bring us back the next appointed time. We ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen.